Well, I'm going to ask you again, are you glad you came to church here today? Amen. I'll tell you what, if the Lord's giving us a word like that to start the year, folks, it tells us what's coming ahead. It's telling us what we have to do. Amen. Glory to God. Or God's just such a good and faithful Father to give us that heads up. Folks, and of course, the spirit of that message is not to tune out family members that you're trying to bring into the gospel. That does not tune out your desire to witness to those that don't know Jesus. The spirit of that message is to make sure our closest confidants, those that would influence us, we have to make a distinction between those we're trying to bring into the gospel and those that might try to pull us out of it, right? We got to know the difference. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for the word of God here today? I know we're still maybe a little bit shell-shocked or chewing on what the Lord would have us to say. Amen. Well, go with me in your Bibles. Go to Colossians chapter 1. And today I'm going to call this message Filled, Thrilled on God's Will. Amen. Filled, Thrilled on God's Will. I know many of you were hoping that my sermon title today would be The Buffalo Bills Beat the Miami Dolphins. But folks, we know the greatest event that is taking place here today is not a football game. It is our meeting with our Heavenly Father. Praise the Lord. And I'll tell you what, nothing wrong with enjoying a game and rooting for your team or whatever. But I tell you what, don't let something like that have a true bearing on your life. Don't lose control, lose your temper and spend the week mad or think that it's just your source of pure joy, right? People are saying, Pastor, are you putting a prediction in there? No, I'm getting you focused on what matters the most. Whether the Bills go all the way and win the Super Bowl or not, right? Folks, our joy is not found in other things like that. Amen. And for you non-Bills fans, well, God bless you. You have it better than the rest of us. Glory to God. Are you ready for the word? Go to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to talk about filled, thrilled on God's will. Last week, I taught a message called How to Thrive in 2024. And we saw this in the word. We went over to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. We saw this, that we are spirit, soul, and body. Meaning that God made us a three-part being. We are a spirit being first. We have a soul and we live in a body. And we know at this time of year, many people start deciding to make changes in their life. A lot of times they're called New Year's resolutions. And many times the number one New Year's resolution is to lose weight, get in shape, eat better, exercise. That is a wonderful, wonderful goal. But how many of you know we are not flesh first? How many know that we can't make our goals about the flesh and think that we're going to truly have long, impactful change? Make your goals about growing in your spirit. Amen. When your spirit is in touch with God, you'll be a good steward of everything else. You'll be a good steward of everything else. When you're, living for God, and your heart is connected to Him, you'll want to be a good steward of your body. You'll want to be a good steward of your home and your kids and the rest. Amen. And so we looked over there in Matthew chapter 12, and we know this, our job in 2024 is to make sure that our spirit is not empty. Remember what Jesus said over in Matthew 12, 43? He said this, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, right? He says that unclean spirit goes walking through dry places seeking rest, but finding none. And then he says to himself, I will go back to my home from which I came out, right? And when he gets there, that spirit finds that original man empty, swept, and garnished. How many of you remember that? And the Bible tells us that demonic spirits, first of all, they exist. They are real. And the Bible says this is how the devil works, that if we've had failures in the past, weaknesses in the past, even if that thing has left you for a good long while, the Bible says that spirit's going to come back. The devil's going to eventually try to come back, knock on our door, and put those same failures, those same temptations right back in our life again. And when the devil shows back up and knocks on our door, he cannot find it empty, swept, and garnished. Remember? Because then Jesus says, then that spirit takes seven more wicked spirits than himself, and the second state of that man is worse than the first. He says, even so, it will be with this wicked generation. Jesus said that there would come a generation that would gladly receive the deliverance of the unclean spirit, right? Of course, we know that's going to be through the cross, through the blood of Jesus Christ, through our Lord and Savior. They will receive that deliverance, but then they will do nothing to put, you know, the word and the will of God in their spirit. So when that devil knocks on the door again, that devil finds you filled with God's word. Folks, you got to make sure when the devil comes knocking again, he does not find your spirit empty. Make sure that he finds your spirit filled with the word. Finds your spirit filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Finds you with a heart and a purpose to be sold out to God. See, when you know the will of God, when the devil knocks on your door, you'll say, no, thank you. I know better than that. No, thank you. I know better than that. The will of God, what tells us what's safe for us or what's out of place for us, right? You know, when the devil tries to put something in our lives that's out of place, when we know the will of God, we can say, sorry, devil, that delivery doesn't belong to me. That delivery doesn't belong to me. But the devil is going around, you know, demonic, you know, entities are going around knocking on people's thought lives, you know, going around, you know, pushing on their lives and all this stuff, trying to, you know, move things in. But God's people don't discern that, wait a minute, that delivery, it might have my name on it, but it doesn't belong here. It doesn't belong here. Amen. We need to take God's will and fight and literally fight the fight of faith against things that try to move into our lives that shouldn't be there. Amen. And so that's where we were last week. So this week, we're going to continue talking about God's will. We're going to talk about getting filled, thrilled on God's will. Go to Colossians 1:9. And we're going to read verses 9 through 11. Then we're going to jump over to chapter 4. And we're going to look at a few basic things, generally some things, you know, about God's will. And then we're going to get to two big points here today. All right, two big points. And so let's just jump into this. Let's read Colossians 1:9. We're in the King James. Paul is writing to a church just like us. And they were a church in a town called Colossae. And of course, God included this in the Bible. So this is not just written to those Christians. It's written to all Christians. Amen. All Christians. And so is this written to me and you? Yes, it is. So this is the Lord speaking to us. And he says this, for this cause, Paul and his company, he says, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you would be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Everyone say spiritual understanding. You got to get a hold of that. We're going to come back to that. That's very, very important. Why do you got to be filled with God's will? Because without it, you're not going to understand spiritual things. You're not going to understand spiritual purposes. You're not going to understand spiritual processes. You're not going to understand how God moves, how God thinks, how God acts. Folks, we got to know God would do this, but he wouldn't do that. A lot of Christians have no idea. They see something happen. You know, a lot of times if you know God's will, you'll automatically know right from the beginning, that's not God. That's not God. Because you'll know his ways. You'll know his purposes. You should instantly say that, you know, you'll know something. Oh, that's God. Or that's not God. All right. So you need that spiritual understanding. How do you get that? Getting filled with a knowledge of God's will. And we'll talk about it. Verse 10 says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Folks, do you have a heart to please the Lord? Yes. What are we here for? What are we doing in this life? What do we want most of all? I want to please God. I'm not out to follow rules. You know, notice it says we're out to please God, not appease God. The word appease means to just make him not mad at us. Folks, how many of you know the Lord's not mad at you right now? He took away his anger through the blood and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He has goodwill and intentions for everyone. he decided to lay aside his anger and wrath in order to have grace and mercy. God's not mad at you, all right? But our goal isn't to appease God. Christians that live that life like, God's mad at me, or I don't do good enough, I'm not good enough, and all this stuff. Listen, that's not the goal, to appease him. The goal is to please him. Father, I just want to do what you say. I want to make you happy. I want you to be blessed. I want you to be preferred. Amen. That you would walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience, long-suffering, and joyfulness. Whoa. So when God strengthens you with his glorious power, what does he strengthen you with? Right? Can we go down? We're down in verse 11. I don't know if our system is kind of frozen. There we are. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. When God's power comes into your life, does it mean he takes away every trial? Does it mean he takes away all future, tough spots in your life, meaning he just prevents all hardships? No, when God's strength comes into your life, he gives you endurance. He gives you endurance. He doesn't take away the challenges. He just makes sure that you're so strong that you feel the challenges a whole lot less. Folks, how many of you know there's a big difference between me and a marathon runner, right? You know, some of you are a little quick to jump on that, right? You know, I jump on the treadmill and I have it for a little while. I've been going a different route with my exercising and stuff. But, sometimes when I get on the treadmill, my goal is to run 2 miles. Like, I'll just jump on there, try to run 2 miles, typically without stopping. And, I go a couple of miles, and I'll be honest. At the end of 2 miles, at my age, at the end of 2 miles, I'll be honest, I'm sucking wind a little bit. I mean, I'm sweating. But how many know a marathon runner, someone who runs marathons, they warm up with like 3 or 4 miles. There's a big difference. Me and a marathon runner, we could run the same course, but after a couple of miles, I'm gonna be pretty much looking to get out of that thing, right? But why do they keep on going? It's not because the course is any different, it's because they have endurance. See, endurance will help you to run the race with feeling the distance less. Does that make sense? Amen. So when God strengthens you, it doesn't mean he's just going to make everything, hunky-dory overnight. It means that he gives you the endurance and the strength so you feel the pressures of this life a whole lot less. I mean, I'm telling you, these marathon runners, they can run a mile and read a book at the same time. They're just amazing. They can just run and run and run. You ever seen those guys and gals? Oh my goodness. I mean, granted, they weigh a third of what I do, right? But they're just so impressive. Well, the difference is just simply this. They've got the endurance. 5 miles, they're not even barely breaking a sweat. 10 miles, they're not even halfway done with a marathon. 15 miles, they're still running strong. I mean, some of these people, they run marathons in, under 5 hours. I mean, that's amazing. What's the difference? Endurance. Amen. This world's gonna come down on us and try to, fill our lives full of pressure and everything. But when you're strengthened with his glorious might, you'll hardly notice it. That's what will happen. I mean, yeah, you'll notice it. Yeah, you feel it, but you're not moved. Amen. Glory to God. Now go over to chapter 4 and verse 12. We see something again about the will of God. How are you strengthened? By God's will. How are you going to walk in that strength and that joyfulness and that glorious endurance? Because you're in the will of God. Folks, I'm going to say this. That strength and that endurance is only for those that are in the will of God. And I don't say that critically. God desires it. He wants it for you. But we've got to play our part. Look at this in Colossians 4:12. He says something else about the will of God. He says, Epaphras, isn't that a great name? Boy, I should have put that as a middle name to one of my sons. That would have been awesome. Epaphras, who is one of you, meaning he's from Colossae as well. Epaphras, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers that you would stand perfect and complete in what? All the will of God. Don't let that word perfect make you stumble. Folks, that word perfect, it means whole. It means fully grown. It means you are whole and complete. You could say it this way, that you would stand whole and complete in all the will of God. Notice what God's will is. Folks, what we're going to do is I'm going to make some comments here about the will of God, and then we're going to get to two main points, all right? And I'm just going to give you a heads up. This isn't a message where you're going to be overly revved up and pumped up. That's not the goal. This is to put practical teaching in your life that will cause you to fulfill God's best in your life. Amen? Is it okay if we teach you how to live for the Lord? All right, here we go. Now go back to chapter 1 and verse 9. We remember in verse chapter 4, 12, it tells us there that God wants us to be whole and complete. Whole and complete. Starting in verse 9, it says this, "For this cause we don't cease to pray for you. We desire," this is God saying this to you. God is saying, "I desire that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will." Notice I like that first phrase. God says, "I want you filled. I want you filled." Then in chapter 4, verse 12, he says, "I want you whole and I want you complete." Isn't that awesome? First thing you have to know, God's will for your life is that you be filled. That word filled means full supply, spirit, soul, and body. God has a full supply for you spiritually, physically, and emotionally. Amen. Glory to God. Isn't it good knowing that our Heavenly Father just wants, just sitting there in heaven with a desire for you to be whole and complete, filled with a full supply, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Glory to God. It is his will. What does it mean when God has a desire and he wants you to be filled with a full supply? God wants you to develop a heart's mentality that says that I am content and nothing's missing in my life, no matter what's going on. Amen. Folks, when we get filled with the knowledge of God's will, it doesn't mean we're going to have the most money on this earth. It does not mean that, you know, everything's going to always feel good. It doesn't mean that others aren't going to have more than you or something like that. But when you're filled with a knowledge of God's will, it will breed a heart mentality that says, nothing's missing. Nothing's missing. Nothing's missing. Do you know what I'm talking about? When you're walking with God, even if you're going through a hardship or even if something in your life doesn't seem to be going right, he'll bring you back to this idea that you all of a sudden, your eye of faith, you see him, you perceive him, and all of a sudden you just know nothing's missing. In my heart, there's such contentment, nothing's wrong. Nothing's wrong. See, when you're filled with a knowledge of God's, you know, a will, things don't move you. You know, disruptions and hardships don't take you out of it. Amen. Folks, do you have a heart that just says, I have a contentment on the inside that says nothing's missing? Nothing's missing. Folks, you know, I don't say this arrogantly. I'm just, you know, here to tell you, I'm so grateful that is on the inside. No matter how things are going at the moment, whether they're going the best they ever have or they feel the worst they ever had or whatever, when you look to the inside, when you're walking with God, there's something on the inside that says, wait a minute, nothing's missing. Nothing's missing, nothing's broken, for if he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also in Christ freely give us all things? Nothing's missing. Nothing's been missing since Jesus rose again. There is nothing missing, nothing broken. That is the true definition of prospering, when your heart has a contentment that says, nothing's missing in my life. Prosperity cannot be a financial number, because what number makes you prosperous? Because the only thing that truly makes you prosperous is a heart that says, man, I see God. I know God. I know God's will. Therefore, nothing's broken. Nothing's missing. See, a lot of people, they allow money to tell them something's missing. They allow money to tell them something's broken. Nothing's broken. Nothing's missing if you're walking with God in your heart. Amen. That's what it means when God says, I want you fully supplied. Because I tell you what, somebody who's living a life feeling that something's always missing, feeling like something's always broken, I tell you what, that is a poor mentality to have. What an awful life to live convinced that something's always missing. You can tell when somebody thinks that something's missing because they're always pursuing something they think will fill the void that only God can fill. Folks, nothing wrong with enjoying life. Have things, be blessed, go and make your business successful, and nothing wrong with being promoted and earning more. Praise God for it all, right? But we know if we chase those things instead of chasing these things, it'll be like dust in your mouth. It'll never fill you. It'll never satisfy you. Praise the Lord. So God wants us filled. And then in verse chapter 4 and verse 12, he says, I want you whole and complete. God wants you filled. He wants you fully grown, and he wants you complete. Where are you going to get filled whole and complete? You're going to get filled whole and complete in God's will. God is saying to all of us, he's saying, if you will get fully into my will, I will put my plans in motion in your life to fill you, to make you whole and complete. But you gotta get into my will for your life. The only way to get filled whole and complete is to get in God's will and stay in God's will. And this year, folks, I'm here to tell you, we as a body of Christ, and I don't mean just this church or whatever, and of course, many of you, you're walking perfectly in the will of God. We know that. Pray, you know, there's many people in the perfect will of God. But folks, if there's something in your life where you have one foot in and one foot out of the will of God, get both feet in. Amen. Glory to God. So it is in God's will, and only in God's will are you going to be filled, whole, and complete. Amen. So we got to get into that will, and it's his will that'll keep us in that place, filled, whole, and complete. And I tell you what, when you're filled, whole, and complete, you're going to be thrilled about it. I'll tell you what, and I don't say this because my life is perfect. There's always challenges that come up. Folks, we got to know and understand that. We got to know and understand that. But there's nothing better than being right in the middle of God's perfect will for your life. I didn't say there's nothing better than having a bigger house or having stuff. Nothing wrong with the stuff. You have to understand that. God's got blessings for you and your family, and God's got a full supply in every way in our lives. But nothing better than knowing in your heart that you're in the perfect will of God. Ask yourselves that question here today. And I'm not saying that you're not, but ask yourself, am I in the perfect will of God's, for my life with God? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now go back to Colossians 1:9. My message hasn't even started yet here today. I say, well, Pastor, well, you know, we're going to be firing up our Wednesday nights here in a few weeks. We've got, of course, you know, a special guest coming in at some point, and so I'm kind of holding off on that. But, you know, I've missed some Wednesday nights here, and so I'm just going to make up all that time by preaching it all at once right on a Sunday morning. Glory to God. Amen. Look at verse 9. And we got to see some things. Notice he says, we do not cease to pray for you, desire that you would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Here's something you need to know about God's will. It is not automatic. Perhaps one of the top five misconceptions in the lives of believers, they think that God's will happen no matter what. That is a lie of the devil, folks. If you think people have this idea, well, if God wills it, then it'll happen. Baloney. That is absolutely false. The devil would love for you to think that God's will automatically happens. Why? Because if you believe that, that takes your responsibility out of it. That means you don't have to do anything. Christians love it when the devil convinces them that they have no responsibility in this. All right. All right, God's will is not automatic. If it was automatic, you wouldn't need to have the knowledge of it. You wouldn't have to learn to know it. He wouldn't be praying for you to get into the knowledge of God or the will of God if it was automatic. Amen. God's will is not automatic. You have a responsibility to get into God's will. Notice this. He also says, I want you to be filled with it, meaning that God's will can be measurable in your life. You can be at a different level. Sometimes you can be filled with God's will, but also sometimes you could be half full, meaning you might be in God's will in one area of your life, but out of God's will in another area of your life. All right? And so it's measurable. And folks, the goal is get over fully. Fully. Decide right now to have a heart that your purpose and desire is to be in God's will. Folks, when you make a decision in your heart, say, I want nothing more than to be in God's will. That's what I want more than anything on this earth. I want it more than anything, more than ministry, more than personal goals, more than finances. You know, being in God's will and a desire to be in God's will is actually even more important than your marriage. Well, I'm going to start to, oh boy, here we go. A purpose, a heart that says, I want to be in the middle of God's will no matter what. That's even more important than your marriage. Are you ready to get mad at me? I'm going to start the new year off by getting you ticked off, right? Okay, here we go. It's more important than your children. Oh boy, you know why? Because when you have a heart to do God's will, you'll do the right thing in your marriage. You'll do the right thing for your children. If you want to love your spouse as much as possible, desire to get into God's will. You want to do the best thing you can for your children, get into God's will. Nothing better from your kids than learning from parents who are in the middle of God's will. Nothing better for your marriage than to have the both of you right in the middle of God's will. Amen. That's why I say it's more important. It's the most important thing on this earth. Amen. Is to get into God's will. Of course, Jesus taught us to pray, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If God's will was automatic on the earth, you wouldn't have to pray that way. It's not automatic. God's will is measurable. You're either filled with it or you're not. And then while we were worshiping during that last song, all of a sudden the Spirit of God started speaking to me. And of course, that became the word that was delivered once I got to the pulpit. And what I did when I was down there, I started to just write down a quick note because I thought as I heard the Spirit talk that it would be, you know, delivered during the sermon. But when I got up to the pulpit, the Holy Ghost was very clear that I would start speaking right then and there. And so we'll say this also by the will of God, that the number one way that you get out of the will of God is by being influenced by others who are already out of the will of God. And of course, the Spirit already delivered that message, and I'm not going to revisit it because we're going to leave it right there. All right. Are you ready for big point number one? Big point number one. All right. Number one. Here's something that you must know about the will of God. I do believe over the next several weeks, you know, I'm going to be teaching on the will of God. And we're really starting out with the basics. Number one, are you ready? Number one, here's the biggest point we're starting with today. There is the written will of God for your life, and there is the unwritten will of God for your life. You have to know this. There is the written will of God for your life, and the unwritten will of God for your life. Let's start out with the written will of God, right? What is the written will of God? The Bible. There it is. Notice we all start at the same place with the will of God, but we don't all end up at the same place in the will of God. All right, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. But we all start with God's written word. Do you know that the term testament? How many of you know we have the Old Testament? And we have the New Testament. Do you know what the word testament means? It means will. It is the old will and the new will. And a lot of times they do overlap. But of course, God had some things change under the New Testament. Doesn't, you know, obviously we don't need the blood of animals. We don't need to be sacrificing goats and lambs and so on because we have a new sacrifice as Jesus himself. And so there's some changes there. But your Bible is literally made up of the will of God. You know, and I'm not trying to be cheesy here this morning, but you've probably heard of this before, the acronym for Bible, B-I-B-L-E, right? Basic instructions before leaving earth, all right? You know, which is true. We all get the same written will for our lives, but how many of you know there's an unwritten will for our lives? The written will is where we start. The written will is where we all start. It is the first and highest priority in the will of God. But how many of you know there are specific plans for each of our lives, for each of our families, things that God wants us to do that are not specifically written in God's word? All right. You, for example, you don't go to a scripture, you know, and turn in your Bible and it says your name in there that says, hey, you're supposed to marry so-and-so. You know, I didn't open the Bible. There was not a verse that said, Tim Stallman, you are to marry Catherine Young. All right. Yes, that's my wife's maiden name, right? And so what was that? That was God leading us in our specific plan, okay? You know, there's not a scripture that tells you what house to buy. There's not a scripture that says, hey, you know, this is what you're supposed to do, invest over here. There's not a scripture that tells you what church to go to, all right? So there's an unwritten will, meaning a specific plan that God has for you. And how many of you know the Bible tells us he has that specific plan, but he doesn't give the details in the Bible? That is our job to hear his voice and to obey what he wants us to do. Amen? All right, and here's what you got to know. We're still on big point number one. The specific will of God, that's what God wants to get you into. The specific plan that he has for your life, that's where you're the most blessed. That's where you're the happiest. That's where you're filled, whole, and complete. Get in. Get into the will of God, right? That's what God has for you specifically. That's the goal that God has for every one of us. But now hear this. The reason why so many Christians never get into God's specific plan for their lives is because they first fail to obey the written plan, the written will. Folks, you will never get to the unwritten will of God for your life until you are first sold out to the written will of God in your life. Oh, praise the Lord. God, so many Christians, folks, and I'm not saying this to be critical. I'm saying it as a pastor that sees this stuff go on all the time. Of course, the Bible teaches us this. Christians will get out of their specific plan because they never became proficient in the written will of God. They never were sold out to do whatever was first written. Folks, here's the point I'm trying to make. If you will get hungry and willing and humble to do whatever is written in here, that will open the door for God to start speaking to you, leading you into the specific or the unwritten will of God in your life. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now go down. You're in Colossians 1:9. Can we bring it up in the Amplified? Look at Colossians 1:9. Remember I had you say spiritual understanding? He says, I desire that you're filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and what? Spiritual understanding. Folks, I'm going to teach you how to have a higher spiritual IQ, because that's what God wants for your life. Look at this, Colossians 1:9. He says, for this reason, from the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray and make special requests for you, asking that you may be filled with the full, deep and clear knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God and an understanding and discernment of spiritual things. Notice he says, so that you will know the ways and purposes of God. The ways and purposes of God. That is a great way of explaining what spiritual understanding is. Oh, folks, the Bible is saying, God is saying, I want you to get filled first with my written will for your life. And when you start acting on my written will, you will start to perceive the ways that God operates, the way God thinks, the way God talks, the way God moves. Folks, a lot of people don't ever fully learn to understand what God does. They don't understand how God talks. They don't ever learn his ways. All right, let me give you some examples. All right, knowing God's word is how we first learn his ways. Let's talk about some simple, understandable examples from the written will of God. Answer me this question, everybody. Let's just use one that we can all answer. It's easy. Is it God's written will for every single one of us to go to church? Yeah. Oh, boy. Woo. We're not even sure about that. I'll tell you what, if it's not a resounding yes, see, Christians never get into God speaking to them, leading them, because they don't do the simple written stuff first. Listen, if you just know the answer, shout it right out. We'll never know you're not doing it. Praise the Lord, right? Is it God's will? Is it written in his word that he wants you not to just attend a church? He wants you to be part of a church family or a church congregation. Is it God's will for us to be part of a local church? Yes, it is. Amen. What does God want us to do here? He wants us to worship together. God wants us to hear the word together. He wants us to serve one another. He wants us to love one another. He wants us to gather together, to laugh together. But he wants us to be loyal to each other. He wants us to be faithful. God loves a gathering in his name. Folks, does God give us his written will to go to church? Does he give it to us so we just keep an attendance record? See, people think by just going to church that that's all it is. Folks, God does not have a superficial attendance requirement. Okay, meaning just because you walked through the door, God didn't give you a gold star. Remember the Book It charts? Is anyone that grew up with Book It? Is Book It still a thing? I know Pizza Hut's not a thing in this town anymore. Then you'd read the books, and I remember being in second grade going, okay, I read a book. I just wanted the pizza, right? I wanted the star on my chart. God doesn't have a star on your chart just because you're sitting in a chair here today. God does not, you know, looking for someone just to say, well, I go to church because I have to. I go to church because the Bible told me to do it, so here I am, all right? Folks, God wants us. He gives us his written will, so by going to church, we learn his ways. See, it's the ways of God to be loyal. It's God's ways to be faithful. It is God's ways to gather in his name. Amen. By going to church, you start to learn how to develop a weekly faithfulness. You know, you start to learn how to be loyal to somebody. You start to learn how to humble yourself. It teaches us how to have leadership and to submit to leadership and how to, you know, be submissive in our character, that we just do what God wants us to do. You know, those people that are serving all over this building here this morning, watching our kids and ushers and musicians and AV audio and all these things, you know, our cleaning department, our parking lot people, all of them, our youth leaders, I mean, all these things, they're serving one another. They're serving. God loves that. Jesus said, I am he that does serve. Amen. He said, the greatest in heaven are those that are going to be serving. See, we're here by acting on God's written will, I start to perceive his ways. God loves a gathering. In heaven, there's going to be somewhere between 1 and 2 billion believers. Between 1 and 2 billion, it's going to be a pretty crowded place. And you might say, well, I don't like crowds, but here's the thing. God loves to be gathered with his family. God loves to be around his children. Why do so many of his children not want to be around his children? You're never going to get God's unwritten will for your life until you learn to love a local church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Humble yourself and serve. Let's talk about another example. Tithing. Woo, here we go. Is it God's written will for every believer to tithe? Yes. Yeah, see, shout loud. We don't know that you're not doing it, right? And so, not saying that you're not. I say that to be, I'm kidding around. Don't come to me. Don't tell me I was accusing somebody of something just because I'm saying something tongue in cheek. Anyway, let's not go there, but let's go here. Let's talk about tithing. Oh man, if anywhere you don't want to go, people don't want to talk about tithing. Here's what one of the greatest statements or the most frequently repeated statements I hear in the body of Christ over the years. Pastor, I know the Bible tells me to tithe, but I can't afford it. Well, you can if you do what the Bible says, do it first. The tithe is not 10%. Do you know that? The tithe is the first 10%. You know, and it's not a family church idea. Every church that calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is written in his written will that every believer be a tither to their local church. Why? God's not trying to get something away from you. He's trying to put a blessing in your life. He says, I will, you know, open up the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing. God didn't say, I'll pour you out a regret. Didn't say, I'll pour you out a wish I didn't do that. I'll tell you what, in these days, I'll tell you what, I've already started doing this. I've already started seeing it coming. Lord, I thank you. I'm in the blessing of the tithe. What's coming down the pipe for our nation and the world, you'll want to be under the blessing of God. Hallelujah, that's not doom and gloom, right? The world grows darker and darker, but the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter. People say, well, you know, I know the Bible says to tithe, but. Well, why does God want us to tithe? Why did he write that in his written will? Hold your place there in Colossians. We're coming right back. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 14. Pastor Brad knows exactly where I'm going here. Go to Deuteronomy 14, 22. Why did God institute the tithe way back there? Actually, the tithe was not God's idea. Do you know that? Do you know in the Bible, Abraham brought the tithe to God and God decided to institute it to honor Abraham. God loved it so much, he said, that's what a faithful heart does. And so God put that in his word for all dispensations, for all time. All right. Look at Deuteronomy 14, 22. Go to Deuteronomy 14, 22. I know you're over here in Deuteronomy all the time. You just love reading the book of the law. You know? But go back there where the pages are still new and crunchy in your Bible and go to Deuteronomy 14, 22. Let's bring it up. The word of God says this. He says, you shall truly tithe. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we're having a little bit of an issue. It's just taking a little time here on our computer system. You know, sometimes we think it's, you know, only like plumbing and things like that that get held back. How many of you know it can happen in electrical things too, you know? Praise the Lord. And so I know you got your Bibles. This will come up when we get the opportunity. You know, also too, you'll see the numbers for your kids will be flashing if they're disrupted. Just pay attention. We'll make sure that we get that over to you. But turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 14, 22. It says this, you shall truly tithe all the increase of your seed that the field brings forth year by year. How many of you know God was talking to farmers? Israel was a farming, you know, community and things. And he said, whatever increase comes out of your fields, whatever incomes, he says, you should tithe it every single year. All right? And then he says this in verse 23. He says, and you shall eat before the Lord your God. Isn't that awesome? He says, tithe and you shall eat. Tithe and you shall eat. Tithe and you won't go without. Tithe and you'll be protected from the famine. You'll be protected from the economic issues that could come on the land. He said, tithe and you'll eat. Tithe and you shall eat before the Lord God. He says, in the place which he shall choose to place his name there. Where has God chosen to place his name? Right here in the church. Amen. Amongst his people. He says, the tithe of your corn, the tithe of your wine, the tithe of your oil, the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. He says, tithe it all. Yes. Notice there's one last phrase here at the end of verse 23. Tithe it all, God says. Why? That you may learn. Yes. That you may learn to fear, or the word fear means to reverence, so that you may learn to fear or reverence the Lord your God always. Yes. Tithing is not about money. Yes. Tithing is about developing the ways of God. Yes. The ways of God are reverent. Yes. The ways of God takes care of something that's sacred. Yes. The ways of God realizes what's holy and precious. Yes. Oh, are you getting a hold of this? Yes. Oh my goodness. Christians never get in to the full unwritten plan because they don't first do what is written in God's will. I learned to tithe in 2004. I've been a tither ever since. And my goodness, I'll tell you what, the blessing on the tithe is so much bigger than financial. The blessing of the tithe is way more than just financial. It is marital, it is with your children, yes, in your finances, in your health, in your mental health, everything you can possibly imagine. God said, tithe it all. Why? Because you learn to reverence. That's the issue, what happens with people that aren't tithers. They lack reverence. And when you lack reverence, God cannot move in an irreverent atmosphere. Keeping reverence out of your home, keeping reverence out of your life, it blocks God from moving. People think that tithing is just it's just a business thing. It's just the church trying to get more money. No. The written will of God is given to us to learn his ways. Just like God teaches us his ways in church, we humble ourselves in a local church. We serve one another in a local church. We gather together. That's his ways. God's ways with tithing, because God is reverent. God is a provider. Every time, you know, we bring the tithe, we are showing God, Father, I've brought that which belongs to you, because I am here declaring that not just the 10th part belongs to you, actually all of it is yours anyway. I have nothing that's truly my own. I've never fed myself one day. Father God, you're my provider, spirit, soul, and body. And if you say this is holy to you, then I humble myself and I reverence you, Father. I walk in, I gather with your people. I count your house a holy thing. I count this tithe as devoted to you. Here I am, Lord. Those are the ways of God. See, spiritual understanding. Folks, your spirit, Your innermost consciousness is never going to learn how God acts, how God thinks, how God moves. There's so many believers, it's so amazing to me sometimes, they will do things, and if they were filled with God's will, they would know right there from the beginning, nope, God don't do that. God doesn't do that. God doesn't go and fault find with your brothers and sisters. God doesn't go and attack leadership. God doesn't, scream and yell and fight. God's a God of peace. His ways are peaceful. God is not unforgiving. So many Christians, the Bible tells us to forgive. And people say, well, I will if I have to. No, I forgive because it's the ways of God. The ways of God. See, spiritual understanding knows that when you walk in unforgiveness, if you walk in strife, fighting, the Bible says, you know, where there's envy and strife, there is evil confusion and every evil work. See, in a local church, I learn to be gracious. You learn to be gracious with me. Am I going to do everything that you just love and enjoy all the time? No. Can I have faults? Could I make a mistake? Could you make a mistake? Could these people make a mistake? Could they make a mistake? Could they? That's the whole thing. The Holy Ghost brings us together as puzzle pieces that would never fit. But he says, through my spirit, and if they will act in my ways of graciousness, we all come together and we fit, even though our personalities are different, our backgrounds are different. See, I do the written word because it starts to unveil. My heart starts to learn the ways of God. And see, it makes me learn his purposes. The purpose of the tithe was for me, not for him. I needed it. God was not desperate. He says all the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The Bible says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and he owns the hills too. God's not broke. God's not looking for a loan. You understand? He says, I've given you this principle. I wrote it for you so that your heart would learn. Because if you cannot submit in something as simple as money, if you can't submit, can you bring up Luke 16:11? I think our system's working again. Let's look at what Jesus said. Look what Jesus said concerning being faithful with money, with God. Jesus said this, Jesus speaking says, therefore, if you've not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, think about this. Connect the dots. Let's have a little spiritual understanding. Money is called unrighteous mammon. How good of God. What a miracle took place today. See, when I took out that envelope with my tithes and offerings in it today, that money itself is called unrighteous. Unrighteous, meaning in and of itself, it has no true value to God. It's unrighteous. But a miracle happens. Because it's something that is required for this life. It's something that tries to pull on my heart and that I take the written will of God and I obey God. And at that moment, that unrighteous thing becomes the devoted thing. That unrighteous, worthless thing that truly has no eternal relativity at all of a sudden puts something in my heart that teaches me how to be reverent and to submit to God. And as I'm faithful every week with that tithe, what's happening is God's saying, there's somebody who submitted to my written will. Now I can trust them with the unwritten will of God for my life. Are you getting a hold of this? And it would be the same with forgiveness. It'd be the same with walking in mercy. See, is it the will of God for us to lift hands and bless the Lord? Yes. Psalm 134, verse 2, lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. He says, I desire that men everywhere lift holy hands without wrath and doubting. We have many, many scriptures. I will lift my hands unto the Lord. You know, I will give thanks unto him. You know, and I told you we'd bring up this verse. Can you bring up 1 Thessalonians 5:18? I believe that's the right verse. I don't have it written down. I believe that's the right verse. That verse was given to me last night in our Erie service. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks. Everything. Everything, every time, anywhere, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's the will of God. Is it the will of God for you to walk into this church and give thanks? Yes. Is it God's will, written will, for you to give thanks at home? Yes. Why? Because it is the ways of God to be grateful. It is the ways of God to be thankful. It is the ways of God to acknowledge where all good comes from, right? Man, I just feel like singing the doxology right now. I love the doxology. Reverend Tony, he had to get going. He was doing a little traveling today. I'll tell you what, I'd call him up right now. Reverend Tony, where are you? Right? Right? Who remembers the doxology, right? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Amen. Praise him, all creatures here below. Yes. Praise him, all things above ye heavenly host. Praise God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Hey, I'll tell you what. You say, well, that's just old and religious. No, I'll tell you what, those words work. Yes. I don't care how religious it sounds. Those words are right. Yes. Amen. Whatever is in your life. Now, you go back to Colossians chapter 1, and let's wrap this up right here. Colossians chapter 1. Now, why does it matter? I've already given you this, but I'm going to remind you why this all matters. Go to Colossians 1 and go to verse 9 again, and we'll read this passage one more time. He says, we do not cease to pray for you and desire that you would be filled with a full supply of the knowledge of God's will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Folks, do you see where spiritual understanding comes from? It comes by being proficient in the written will of God. Then you will start to grow in the ways of God. That's the goal. Father, your ways are above my ways. Your thoughts are above my thoughts. Lord, I don't want to walk in my ways. I want to walk in your ways. How many of you know our ways don't work? Have we learned that yet? That's what spiritual understanding is, knowing how God thinks, knowing how God works. Look at verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. What a blessing. Going to the written will, doing what it says, pleases God. Pleases God. If you don't have a heart to please God, you better find one. You better make that change. Until somebody's heart truly makes that moment, that commitment that says, all things, Lord, I will please you. And all things, of course, we make mistakes. Of course, there's times when people stumble. But when you stumble, you know it hurts on the inside because your heart is truly wanting to please the Lord. You know? And we get back to it and we live a life to please the Lord. If your heart is not there, you better make that adjustment. You're not going to go any further with God until you do. God's going to be handcuffed in your life until you people say, well, God can do whatever he wants. Not if you resist him. Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. He stands at the door and knock. He doesn't barge in. God doesn't say, well, I want it for him anyway. I'll just throw my shoulder through the door of their resistance. If you keep God out, he'll stay out. Oh, boy. That we walk worthy and please the Lord, being fruitful in every good work. What does God want for you? To be fruitful. Increasing. Do you see all these words? He wants you filled, fruitful, and increasing. Of course, all first with the knowledge of his ways. In verse 11, this is where we're going to end right here. He says, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power. Do you want God's glorious power in your life? And again, when he strengthens us, he strengthens us with patience and long-suffering, or literally the endurance to feel the hardships less. See, when you have endurance, you're not going to be pushed off course in this life just because something tough came up. It is good to be so rock solid in the will of God that, you know, come any hardship, come any trial or any trouble, you're still just the same person. You're still moving in the same direction. Amen? You want God's glorious power? Learn his ways. God's ways are forgiving. God's ways are merciful. Are you? God's ways are to gather and to be around his children. Are those your ways? God's ways is to honor that something that is sacred, like the tithe. Do you honor that which is sacred? Right? Do you look at this Bible or do you just try to superficially read it? God doesn't have a book it program. Just because you read through the New Testament, he doesn't give you a gold star. When you feed on the word with a hunger for his will, with a purpose to please him in all that you do, see, that's when it sinks in. And that's when you start moving in his will. And now his glorious power starts moving in, strengthening you. Folks, there's greater blessings ahead. But here's what you need to know. There's even, you know, there's also greater challenges ahead. The blessings will be glorious, but the challenges will be very similar for all of us. But the question is, how strong are we going to be when the challenge shows up? If you're walking in his will, walking with a heart to please him, you'll be strengthened with his glorious power. To the point where there's even trials that show up. Folks, I've seen this as a pastor. I've seen exact similar trials face a strong couple or a strong family, and they hardly bat an eye. It was the same thing. It hardly moved them. A day or two later, they were over it. Away they go. But But I've seen the same trial come against those that were 1 foot in, 1 foot out, and all of a sudden it enveloped their life. I've seen it destroy marriages and destroy homes, not because the trial was not overcomable, but it found them in a state of being unprepared with the written will of God. If they were filled with God's written will, they would have seen that immediately and said, no, that don't belong here. Nope, that's out of place. Nope, I don't have to take that. Nope, nope, sorry, devil, you're a loser. I'm a winner. You know, we're above, not beneath. We're the head, not the tail. We're the lender, not the borrower. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why? Because you learn God's ways. You'll see stuff trying to get into your life. You'll be like, that's not God's ways. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Depression tries to get on me. I say, wait a minute, that don't belong here. That's a delivery devil. You might have my name on it, but it doesn't belong to me. Discouragement doesn't belong to you. It's going to knock on your door every single day of your life. You know, I'll tell you what. And I mean, honestly, probably to most people, they would probably even not notice it. But there came a moment, even this past week, I got extraordinarily tempted to be discouraged. And I decided to wake up that next morning. I don't receive this. I'm not doing this. That's not from God. That's not God's will. Amen. The devil might try to deliver it on my doorstep, but I'm not answering the door to that. Get out of here. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's so many people that would have come into their life, and all of a sudden, you know, a trial that was literally a couple of hours in my life, it could have grown into, you know, a week. It could have grown into a whole mess. The Bible says every huge fire starts with a small spark. The devil knows that. Every big fire started with a small spark somewhere. Folks, when you get filled with the will of God, nope, you'll know, nope, that's not the way of God. That depression, that's not the ways of God. Victory are the ways of God. Defeat is not the ways of God. Victory is the ways of God. Victory is the purpose of God. Amen. Gratitude. Gratitude for my church family. Gratitude for my leadership. Gratitude to ultimately, you know, what God has set in our lives. Gratitude is the ways of God. Mercy. When people do dumb things, they're going to do dumb things. I might do something dumb. Be gracious. Be gracious. If it's just a fault, just let it go. The Bible says if someone be overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual, restore them in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Any accusations that you point towards others are going to rebound and multiply against you. Stop trying to tear people down. God isn't in the tearing down business for his people. He's in the building up. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, we should know that these are the ways of God. We'll never learn those ways until we're consistently obeying this. 2024, I'm not trying to mark or badge the year, but 2024 is the time for some of us, all of us, I mean, ultimately to make this our purpose, but to get back, get strong in God's will, not get judgmental, not get critical, don't get dry and religious, but get back to that purpose. Above all things, that God's will is your number one desire. Your number one desire. That is my message, and I'm sticking to it. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we love you. Father, I just believe we have a congregation right here. Lord, even when it's inconvenient, even when it's uncomfortable, Father, we're going to press through and have a congregation with a heart that wants to please you above all. Father, I pray that you would fill us, fill this church family with a knowledge of your will. Your will, your desires are the most important thing to us. Father, in your will is everything we need. Father, in your will we'll be full. In your will we'll stay full and complete. It's in your will that, Father, we have a heart's mentality that says nothing's missing. Father, I'm so glad even right now I can go to that place right there in my own heart. And Father, and see nothing's missing. I didn't say that nothing wasn't challenging naturally, but right there in my spirit, I am convinced of your overwhelming goodness. And I just believe nothing's missing. I lack nothing because you've provided it in Christ. Father, we just bless you today. We glorify you. Father, you are so holy and so good. Father, we want to know your ways. Father, we're not trying to read the Bible to get reading credits. Father, we're not trying to pray to get time credit. We want to know your ways. Father, healing is your way. Peace and joy is your way. Forgiveness and mercy is your way. Gathering with the brethren, loyalty, faithfulness are your ways. Sacredness and reverence is your ways. Full provision is your way. Thank you, Lord God. Mercy and grace is your way, not anger and temper, not strife, not confusion, not fighting. Forgiveness. Thank you, Lord. This is what we want your word. This is what your word will produce. We'll start to see the unwritten path for us because we were first very proficient in what was written. Thank you, Lord God. Father, I pray for every individual within the sound of my voice. Lord, I pray right now that you knock on their heart. Lord Jesus, you said you're the one that stands at the door and knocks. Knock on their heart with the full purpose and desire to be filled with God's will. Lord, I ask that you would prick their hearts, and you're faithful and you'll do it. Draw us, Father, closer to you in this brand new year. With all eyes closed, with every head bowed, before we dismiss, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Have you personally submitted to him and done what the Bible says? The Bible says in Romans 10:9, it says that if you'll speak with your mouth, declare that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. See, that's the will of God. The will of God for every human being on this earth is to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's the first and highest, most important will of God in anyone's life. Folks, I'm gonna tell you the truth. Hell is a real place. Anyone that passes from this life without having Christ as their Lord and Savior will end up there. But I've got good news. The good news is heaven is real. The good news is that God provided his son, Jesus. He shed his blood. He was nailed to that cross. He was punished for our sins so that we don't have to be. And the Bible says if you'll take him as your Lord and Savior, you'll receive eternal life. You'll never have to think twice. You'll never have to worry about hell. Of course, we want to give our life to the Lord. We're not just looking for fire insurance. We want to live for him. But if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life. If that's you, eyes are closed, heads are bowed. I'm not going to walk up to you. I'm not going to call you down front. This is not you trying to join this church or sign paperwork. This is between you and God. Eyes are closed. I'm not going to point you out or make you stand up or anything. But if that's you, if you say, Pastor, that's me, I need Jesus in my heart, I need to be saved, I'm simply gonna ask you to lift your hand and take that one small step towards the Lord. And when I see your hand, you'll just hear me say, you can put it down. And then I'll lead the entire congregation in a prayer, and right there in your seat, you can ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. But if that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone here that you'd say, Pastor, I wanna receive the forgiveness of my sins? I want to be washed and cleansed by the blood of Christ. If that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? I'd love to lead us in that prayer. You know, maybe you're here as a Christian. You know that You're born again. You know that you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, but you've really started to drift away from God, and you sense that, and you know you need to rededicate your life, and you know you need to get back into His will. Folks, God loves you. He's merciful. His mercies are new every day. If you need to jump back into the will of God here today, do it right now. I'd love to help you rededicate your life. If you'd like to rededicate your life to the Lord, could you just simply lift your hand right now, please? I see that hand. You can put it down. Is there anybody else that say, Pastor, I need to rededicate my life. I need to get back to the will of God, and I've gone away. I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. Is there anybody else that say, Pastor, I need to rededicate? I see that hand. You can put it down. God loves you. Let's get back to God. Let's get back in His will. His doors are open. He's inviting all of us to be in His will. It's better to be there. Anybody else that say, Pastor, I need that help. I need to rededicate my life with the Lord. If that's you, we love you. God's not mad at you, just helping you. I think this is something we all can pray, and we all can mean it with all of our hearts. So if you lifted your hand, pray this with us. Let's all pray this, folks. Let's all just be before God and mean this with all of our hearts. Pray with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that washes me, that cleanses me from all unrighteousness. Lord, today I make a decision to live for you, to obey you, to please you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Did you get some help here today? Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet, folks. Let's do the written will of God so we can learn the ways of God, so we can get into the specific plan that God has for our life. Folks, I love you. Hey, if you're visiting here today, when we dismiss, I'm going to be up here in front of the platform. I'd love to get a chance to meet and greet with you. Folks, have a wonderful, blessed day. Let's go ahead and just give the Lord all the praise and glory. Father, we just bless you. Father, we command your blessing upon all that are here today. And Lord God, we just give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, Amen. You are dismissed.